Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Faith.
Hi, hi.
I can hear you, but I cannot see you. There you are. Wow. Faith Dickey. I feel like you have a good name for like announcing. So you're a pro highliner. Can you please explain to the listener what it is that you do and how you came to do it?
So highlining is a balance sport. It is from slacklining. Some people might have heard of that more than highlining.
Not likely.
It's very similar to tightrope walking, but it's not a steel cable that's super taut. It's actually this flat woven band, kind of like a flat, stretchy rope. And you stretch it between two points and you balance on it. And you don't use a pole. You just use your arms and body posture and your mind to stay balanced. And so I do that very high off the ground, upwards of 4,000 feet.
Okay. So did you start at like 2 feet?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. I discovered slacklining in a park. I'm from Austin, Texas. And I was 19 and I was bopping around in a park and I saw it between trees and I gave it a shot. And at that time it was probably 2 or 3 feet high. I never anticipated doing it high off the ground. That wasn't my goal initially.
Okay. So of course, when I saw a video of you doing this, you know, I have this thing with heights. I don't know if you have this, but like me and my brother both have this where it's like, if I'm high on the edge of a mountain, I kind of have the impulse to jump.
I understand that.
Completely. Yeah. There's like something about it. And then if I look at videos of high things like that, it's like my palms kind of sweat. Sometimes I imagine like, what if I just woke up in the middle of the night at the top of a mountain and what would I do? These kinds of things. I have a mountain obsession across the board. So what got you from slackline to highline?
I fell asleep driving my car, crashed it. Was okay, but it was kind of this huge catalyst for change in my life where I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. And I thought slacklining was amazing because it was the first time in my life I'd experienced focus like that, where nothing else mattered around me. The only thing that mattered was me balancing on that rope. And it just felt so good to like tune out the rest of the world.
Now, see, I feel this same way about pottery. And
yes.
Escape rooms, but adding an element of death to it is definitely a whole nother level of focus. I mean,
well, the risk came later. I mean, initially it was just a park activity and I had a harness, I had a leash, I was super safe. So if I were to fall off the line, I would just be dangling a few feet below it.
And do you still do that?
Wear a harness and a leash?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time.
I feel such relief. I really didn't know that because I don't think you can see that in the videos, right?
Well, you probably saw a video of me doing it without a harness and a leash, which I do as well, which is called free solo.
Okay. So what percentage of the time do you free ball it in that manner?
Like 5% or less. I really like to convey to people that I'm not out there doing it willy-nilly. So for your listeners, free solo is when you walk the high line without the harness and the leash. So that means that the only thing that's stopping you from falling to your death is A, not falling, and B, the chance that you could catch the high line you're walking on when Ooh. You do fall. Ooh. So there is a bit of a backup plan.
Do you chalk your fingers like a gymnast?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I just try to stay within my ability range.
I would have rubber cement on every digit. There's no way I'm chancing my hand slipping. Can you imagine? That's the last thing you remember is your hand slipping off the high line.
Oh, it'd be terrible. I mean, you would know. You would
and
know
you're like, biffed it as you yep. sail down. Wow. So what's the highest height you've ever done?
Soloed? The highest height I've walked a highline solo is probably like 800 feet.
Wow. So there's a chance of survival there?
No. Honestly, the majority of highlines have very low chances of survival. But, I think what makes it scarier when you're higher off the ground is you know that you would have time to realize what was going on. Actually, like right. a 30-foot fall would be so quick. And I was scared of heights when I started. It wasn't like I was some freak of nature who was like, heights, whatever.
Right.
I was totally terrified of them. And I guess what was really interesting to me was how I could train that part of myself and become more comfortable in an uncomfortable space.
And so now has that shifted? You're talking about it in the past tense. What's the story now?
Well, I would say that being living that lifestyle really lends itself to being in your 20s. You know,
like every lifestyle does.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like your body recovers faster and
yeah.
it's easy to be like, I don't know what I'm going to do in 10 years when you're in your 20s. And so it's just different. I think I'm out of all the people I used to highline with, I'm like one of the last few who still highlines.
Mm.
So it just it is a kind of sport. It involves a lot of equipment. You need a team of people to set up the line with if it's like, you know, a big, hard to reach objective in a yeah. mountain, in the mountains or something. And you kind of have to dedicate a lot of time to it to be good. And it can be pretty hard on your body as well. And so I say I still highline and I still love highlining, but just my relationship to it has changed and it's not all consuming. I mean, I was quite obsessed for, 7 or 8 years.
And now what do you, have you replaced it with a new passion?
Well, I'm guiding it. So I started the nation's first highline guiding business last year. And so I've been really feeling really passionate about teaching people what I know about navigating fear through the catalyst of highlining. I beat myself up and then learned that that wasn't a sustainable way of navigating fear and dealing with these kind of emotions that arise and anxiety and whatever. And it's really cool to be able to take people highlining in a way where they don't have to have any experience, but people still get to be, 400 feet off the ground on a wobbly highline. And I get to coach them through navigating that fear.
And what do? You take like a 2-hour class or something? Or how does
it? It's like I usually all day. So
all day.
I take people. My business is called Elevate Outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had amazing clients. It's been so fun because I think because I've sort of advertised it as this opportunity to engage with fear and kind of like expand your comfort zone and look inside yourself.
Yeah.
I've been attracting really rad people who aren't just there for like a thrill. It's like they seem to be there to get more from the experience. And that's exactly what I want. But of course, if you're just there for the thrill, I will also guide you. No judgment. For context, for listeners, when I solo a highline, it's like a tenth of difficulty of what I could walk. So
right.
say I can walk
Shorter.
A 400-foot highline, right? Like in length. I'm not soloing a 400-foot highline. I'm soloing 100-foot highline or a 50-foot highline. So I am so calculated. I'm making sure that highline I'm walking without a leash is so within my wheelhouse and ability.
God, I really want them to rename the leash thing. It's giving me like pet fetish vibes.
And tether.
Yeah.
Call it a tether.
Okay, great. Tether. Now, have you ever fallen free soloing? And what percent of time do you fall when you are tethered?
I've never fallen while free soloing. I have backed off of lines. So I've scooted out. So typically highlining, You scoot out on the line, like, I don't know, 3 feet away from the rock edge. And then you get into the sitting position and you stand up and walk from there. And that's so that if you do fall at the beginning of the line, you don't smack the rock. And so that's just comfortable. And so I do that soloing, even though obviously it falling is a moot point. Yeah. I've never fallen soloing, but there's been times where I got on the line to solo and felt, for whatever reason, like, today's not the day.
Yeah.
This is not what I want to do. And then falling with a tether, it depends on the line. If it's a challenging line for me, so if I get on a 400 foot long high line, that's a challenging line for me. And I'll probably fall, I don't know, 2 to 5 times as I cross it.
Oh, wow.
And then I just stand up where I fall and keep walking. And there's a kind of a projecting where you just keep trying it until you can walk it point A to point B without falling.
Now, do you believe in bad omens? Like you said, sometimes you retreat, run away, as they say in Monty Python.
It's not because like a raven flew by.
No, that's what I was going to literally ask. What would you do if right as you scooted those 3 steps away from the rock, a crow or raven goes right by your face and it goes,
I mean, I probably wouldn't solo just because I'd be worried that that bird was somehow angry or hostile or territorial, and I don't want to get hit in the face with a bird while I'm soloing. But I wouldn't necessarily think of it as an omen.
Has anyone as a prank ever greased your line?
Fuck no.
Would you be mad if one of your highline buddies like shook the wire thing while you were walking on it?
Yes, 100%.
Would that be like a deal breaker?
A deal breaker in what context?
Your friendship.
Like, would I kill them?
No. Well, I wasn't jumping to that, but please elaborate.
I mean, it would be a deal breaker as far as me wanting to highline with them again in the future.
Right. But you'd still break bread.
Probably. I mean, okay, with a tether and a harness, when I was in my 20s,
yeah,
we did, you know, fuck with each other sometimes.
Really?
When we were highlining.
Really?
Like, yeah, because if the person was, you know, if you highline enough and you're no longer in this like fight or flight mode, you can have fun out there.
Yeah.
And so you get used to it and it becomes fun. I mean, people do all sorts of tricks on highlines. And I personally love wearing costumes on highlines. I think it's fun to combine being ridiculous with this kind of scary thing.
Is there a video of that on your Instagram?
I do.
Yeah. I gotta peruse this Instagram more thoroughly. I saw one video and I said, let's get her. We need her. Well, listen, thank you so much for sharing about your whole deal, because honestly, these are the kind of things you watch on Instagram and go, what the fuck? Like, how and why? And, you know, it's pretty amazing.
There is the Apple TV is coming out with an episode on their adventure series. That's about me and highlining. So if people want to learn more, that should be out soon. And it'll actually be, you can watch it in virtual reality on their new hyper expensive Vision Pro thingies.
Oh, I love expensive things. Yeah, wait, so what is the show called? You don't know.
You know what? I don't actually know.
That's comforting though. You're not even aware of the show that you yourself are on.
There, you know.
You lived it. You lived it. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. This was fun.
And you should come highline.
I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. Part of the mountain survival fantasy is having read this book, Hatchet, as a kid, where this kid, his plane crashes and he finds some turtle eggs and eats them and they're so creamy. That's more what I'm looking for, some kind of food tie-in. Like, what snacks do you eat? I was going to ask you, actually, you know how marathon runners shit themselves? Do you ever, like, pee or shit while you're highlining?
Not while I'm highlining, but it is very common for highliners when they're about to get on a highline to have to pee or shit. For no reason. Like,
there's a reason.
Have to go.
There's a reason.
Well, yeah, it's like a body response. Like, ugh.
You're scared shitless. You're literally scared shitless.
But I tend to, if it's not a real poo, if it's just a fear poo, I'm like, let's just go, because it'll go away as I start walking the line.
Really?
Yeah. I've never like shat myself on a high line.
Yeah. You never like do it off the side of the mountain?
No, but people have pooped off Highlines just for the novelty.
Wow, that is crazy. I would be so scared to shit on a Highline. I mean,
well, like dangling from the leash, the tether. Sorry.
Whoa, that's still crazy because I just feel like it would get smushed on your butt cheeks.
You'll probably go down a Instagram hole after this conversation looking for this, won't you?
Speaking of hole. I guess I might. I'm not sure if that's a wormhole I'm going to be going down.
All right. I should stop talking. You're trying to wrap it up.
All right. Well, thank you again. And I'll consider it. I mean, it would definitely be a funny video. However, I don't know.
It would be a good follow-up to this. Go look at my Instagram, Elevate Outdoors.
Okay.
And you'll see the system and you'll realize that you can do it too.
I can. That's the question is, do I do it? But thank you. I'll think about it. All right. Sounds take good. Care. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Later. Uh-oh. I don't think there's any world in which I would do that. I mean, I guess the only way is if it was part of some sort of a TV show and I was going to get paid a lot of money. Because I do think it would be funny. But I don't know, man. This is my thing is like, I think life lately is so anxiety inducing that I don't know that I need to seek extras. All right. Well, there she is. The Faith Dickey on Instagram. Pro Highliner for 14 years. My God.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when I got the role on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, we had to do this training. I mean, it was kind of crazy because I was a secretary. I don't know why I was involved in this, but there was like a police training where you're clearing a building and you're going through rooms. I can't remember what we were holding. I think it was guns, like maybe fake ones. I can't remember the details, so don't hold me to that. But we were going through and clearing rooms, and there would be like these cardboard figures that would pop up, and you one would be like an, you know, a person, and one would have a target on them. I mean, it was terrifying. And I couldn't believe, I mean, once again, you know, the whole thing is fake, but I was sweating. I was nervous. Like it was so, it was awful. It was stressful. And it is fascinating that no one seems to protest. Alyssa, I guess this is going to be a stupid thing to say, but I just like that there doesn't seem to be that social media push to end gun violence. Maybe people should get on that a little bit. Little bit. All right. So I'm going to take calls about what risks people are taking in their life. And why? What risks do you take?
Oh my God. I can't believe I got through.
Can you believe it? I cannot believe that people walk between rocks on a high rope with no straps of any kind for fun.
That's just stupid.
That's crazy.
Stupid. Not good. Do you think some of those Instagram videos are real where people are like walking on a tightrope in between two mountains?
I do, because I just interviewed a woman who is a highliner professionally. And she does that.
No.
I posted her very name and account in the post that led you to this phone call right now. Faith Dickey.
I thought that
Dickey.
Was a fake photo.
What in the world? Why would I waste everyone's time with a Photoshop and then talk about risk-taking? Anyway, the point being that really is real. She really did that all throughout her 20s. Now she teaches classes. Would you go do it? It's in Utah.
Fuck no. Would I go do that? You have to, like, secretly want to die.
I don't know.
Is that wind? What is that?
I want to say it's laughing, because it is.
Oh, it's laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. But don't you think there's something in you where, like, you secretly want to die? Or you're okay with dying?
Me personally? Yes.
Yeah.
But I would never do that. No, I don't never. I don't really want to, but
imagine you're like one day I have kids and I'm like, if they grow up and want to do that, I could not sleep at night. I mean, I'd rather them do 1,000 other terrible things.
What's the biggest risk that you take in your day-to-day life?
Man, honestly, I feel like I'm on my cell phone when I cross the street and I'm not paying attention. And that's actually a really big risk.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
I know that sounds... Oh, man. That's fair.
He said, and that's bye. A really big risk. That was the funny part, was selling just being on your phone in a crosswalk. I mean, I just... Like, I literally... you go.
Well, I was just going to say, I think about that a lot, like when I used to drink alcohol and do crazy things, how like I didn't realize how terrible of a situation I was putting myself in.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
100%. I mean, it took a therapist to tell me that.
Yeah, I know, right?
I didn't
piece
it together.
I mean, thank God I don't do any of that anymore. But like, I think a lot of people just go out on a Friday night and they're like, oh, I'm just drinking. And like the amount of risk that is actually involved. I know I sound probably super...
No, but old. I was saying the same thing about, like, everyone... Whenever anyone tries to get you to do something risky, they're like, it's safer than riding in a car. And I'm like, wait, I should be terrified to get in a car. That'd be so funny, though, if you were like, oh, let's go to this thing. I'm like, all right, I'll pick you up. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, my hand is on the car door. Like, I just can't do it. There's got to be people like that.
Safer than riding in a car.
I want to know what's someone gonna say walking through bear country, playing with pit bulls who are untrained in an abandoned lot? Like, what walking through bear country, playing with pit bulls who are untrained. Playing with raccoons that are friendly. Are those the answers we're looking for?
Those are some great ideas. Hold on, let me write that down. Walking through bear country and playing
with raccoons that are friendly. During COVID, when everything was locked down in the city, I had like some raccoons that would come up to my window.
Uh-huh.
And they're so cute, but like something's wrong. You don't want to play with a raccoon who's friendly.
Okay. I've added you to the book of risks. Thank you and have a fantastic day. Bye. Toodles. The book of risks, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I'm typing in my book of risks right now. And
yeah.
What risks do you take that I can add to the book?
I live on the edge. I like to wake up late. Sometimes I wear the same socks and shoes like for a week.
Got it. Okay, thank you. That took me forever. Okay, let's see. Oh, yep. Still typing. Hi, I'm typing up risks for my book of risks. What risks do you take?
Hi. Risks that I take, I am like a medium risky person. I like to mountain bike, which is like kind of an extreme sport.
Got it. Mountain biking. All right. Thank you. Got it. Wow. So this is a crazy crowd wearing socks, walking across the street, and mountain biking. Hello. I'm writing down risks that people take in my book of risks. What risks do you take? Okay. I'm writing that down. Got it. Thank you. Calling a podcast. Okay. Without saying anything. Got it. All right. So let's just say this is a risk adverse group of callers. We are not hearing from daredevils today. Okay. We are not hearing. You know what I'm predicting? Someone's going to call and say they have sex without a condom. I think someone's going to say they drunk drive. I think someone's going to say, okay, they feed wild raccoons. Oh, we already had that one. Oh, my golly, gee willikers, mama, 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 mama. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I have a story about risk-taking. It also involves chlamydia, so I'm not sure if that's going to be very listener-friendly.
Who's slurping?
Okay. I am all for it. I'm actually typing some of these risks up for my risk book, so have at it.
All right. I'm in my late 20s, so chlamydia makes sense for things that I should have encountered at this point, but for some reason it hit me till 28.
Chlamydia. What's chlamydia? 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 What's chlamydia?
So I was seeing this guy a year ago who is now my ex, and after we broke up, he texted me knowing I was in a new relationship, and he was like, hey, I have chlamydia. And so I told the new guy, and the new guy was like, he could have left me, he could have slut-shamed me, he could have done all these things. But instead what he texted me was, hey, thanks for being honest. I really appreciate you taking a limb for me, or like going out on a limb for me. And I was like, it was just very sweet. And I've been going out for a year, and it's like, it's really nice.
She self-ejected. Respect. So that was an interesting one. I didn't quite actually understand the story. Her ex said she had syphilis or chlamydia, and then her current boyfriend was like, that's cool, and they're still together to this day. I had follow-up questions, but old gal self-ejected. And sometimes, hey, you have that right. It's a two-way street, right? We can hang up on each other. Hello.
Hello, Chelsea.
Hello.
I'm going to discuss risk-taking and the risk I'm currently trying to take with my life. I just started doing stand-up comedy, and I have a full-time job. I know, right? Also, that's not young, so... I feel like it's quite a risk that I've decided to step out into this new world.
Yeah. What city are you in?
In Toronto. In Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hmm. Okay. Great. Yeah, it is funny.
I don't know. Is it?
Well, now that you mention it, it is like, yeah, stand up. Honestly, sometimes when I think about the shows that I've done, I'm like, I actually can't believe that I myself have done those things, because it is terrifying to me. Stand up.
Some of it is the like complete opposite, like such a dopamine hit when something goes well. Mm. And that to me is like so enticing. It feels, I don't know if it's a healthy addiction right now. It's like, it feels like a healthy thing to want to make people laugh.
What's your favorite joke that you're doing right now?
My opener is, because it's all open mics. I say that it's like brave of the audience to be there because they don't know what they're going to get. I could be straight trash. I am straight trash, but also an ally. And that's as far as, like, that's my, like, one line that seems to work, because people are still friendly from the get-go, right? So.
Huh. Yeah. I was trying to think about Toronto. I'm like, I'm trying to unpack the joke here. So straight trash, you're trying to say the setup is kind of, what if my stand-up sucks? And then the ally, you're reversing that expectation. It's not about your stand-up being straight trash. It's that you yourself are an ally to people who aren't straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually honest. Like, honestly, it's a little convoluted. So I'm actually surprised that has been working well. But you're telling me it has, which makes me go, "Oh, is Toronto like really into like lefty label politics?"
I don't know if they're super into it. I think that people are super aware of it. You know?
Yeah.
So
that's kind of that, like, oh, we're all in this together. We're all allies kind of thing.
I don't know. I like the idea of, like, saying, like, I am straight trash to, like, set those expectations and a little bit self-deprecating, you know? But then also letting people know that I am.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, I agree.
Never got that quite a response. Yeah.
You didn't get that robust of a laugh?
Ugh, no, but it's already getting me wanting some, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do. Like, Chelsea, I'm in my mid-30s.
Okay.
And up until now, my focus was on, like, making my grandparents laugh, and my grandpa died last year, and I was like, I don't have this audience.
Sorry.
Good one, yeah. That's my risk. I don't.
Okay, let me write this down.
I like it.
Stand up comedy, mid 30s. You know what I recommend to you? Read Like a Lampshade in a Whorehouse, the Phyllis Diller autobiography. I think she started stand up in her late 30s or 40s and was working in advertising before, had a husband, she had many kids, I think like three kids or something, completely shifted her career very much in later than you, I believe, in life, and flourished.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but she is funny from the get-go, like her writing and stuff before that in advertising.
That's true. It seems like you might not have that.
Well, I spent a lot of my time with older seniors with dementia. So one thing that I used to love to do was a comedy hour with them.
Oh, that's nice. It's hard,
because
they...
What was great about it?
Yeah.
It was easy because I was just doing like those like joke books. And so if something flopped, it was like, yeah, it's a horrible joke. Like, no vulnerability for me.
My first thought with dementia is I would go straight to physical comedy because... they're not going to remember the setup by the time the punchline comes necessarily. So I would just be walking.
It has to be brief.
Yeah. I'd do silly voices. I'd do impressions of each person with dementia. Who am I? No, really. Who am I? I don't remember. You see? I'm available to mentor. Yep. All right. Best of luck. Good luck with your stand-up career. and toodaloo.
Adios.
Ciao for now. Stand up. I forgot about that. That is scary. It is stressful. Hello. We're talking today in the studio about risk. Are you taking any?
Always.
What risks do you take?
Can you talk about airport etiquette?
We're talking about risks on the podcast. Couldn't have been more clear.
Yeah, I like to take risks.
Fine, we can talk about airport etiquette. What's your pet peeve? What's your question? I have a lot of thoughts on the matter, if I'm being honest.
I thought you might. Curious about where you like to sit on the plane. Do you take your shoes off? What kind of snacks? What kind of drinks?
I like to sit on the dashboard or the left wing. No, I love middle seats. I know it sounds crazy, but I love middle seats, economy middle seats.
Do you wear compression socks?
What I like to do is give out compression socks to the people on either side of me, and then we all put them on in unison like synchronized swimmers. And I take turns leaning my head on one shoulder and then the other shoulder.
And do you take a boat armrest?
If they'll let me. But the middle is where I feel safe. I feel cocooned in protective warmth by my fellow passengers that give me so much comfort and sense of peace and security to be enshrouded.
But did you see that plane that like the exit door got blown off a few weeks ago?
Yeah, and I saw that United and Alaska, I believe, are still flying these planes, and some pilot is like a whistleblower, like, I would never fly in those planes. Like, they don't build them carefully. I'm like, cool. Great.
Do you check the plane when you book a plane?
I'm going to start now. I never used to be that thorough, but now I'm like, I'm going to memorize every type of plane. Guess that'll be a new activity on the horizon.
Yeah, because I flew on one today and there was an availability to sit in the exit row, but I was too scared.
Yeah. Yep.
How's your dog?
Did the seatbelt hold everyone in, though? Was anyone torn through their seatbelt, like their body was torn in two by the pressure?
No.
That's the video I want to see.
A few cell phones got ripped out of it.
I couldn't hear you over the crowd laughing at my joke. Oh, do you want to play Who's Slurping?
Who's Slurping?
Please.
Okay, Who's Slurping?
Healthy.
You're right.
Yeah!
Can't believe you're actually celebrating. I don't have a guest here.
Well, I'm with a friend and we've been listening to your podcast for so long, and I flew to LA today, which is why I had the plane question. And so we're freaking out, but she told me not to fangirl because you hate it, and I said I hate it too.
I don't really hate it. It's just that I feel very self-conscious that people are going to be like, you just have some podcast where everyone's like kissing your ass. Like, I just don't want people to feel that that's a requirement of calling in. And I feel like, okay, like, to me, the funnest way to be a fan is to get the joke, you know, like, or supply a topic or whatever. Like, you know, someone called and gave a really good food test and I'm like, and was being really judgmental about my answers. I'm like, all right, you get it. You get what we're doing here.
For sure. Can I give you a little food test?
Yes.
Falafel.
Yeah. Falafel is a tricky one. It's a tricky, tricky, tricky little situation. Okay. It's also a hot topic, I'm sure, right now. I mean, it's so funny. Like, any account on Instagram is just, like, so volatile. Like, I've seen people cooking food and, like, the debates about whether things originated in Israel or Palestine. It's like, it escalates to death threats on people's cooking accounts. I'm just like, but the short answer is, if I had to, like, get rid of certain foods from my diet forever, falafel, I wouldn't have a hard time doing it. Because to me, even though I do think falafel can be amazing, it's not as amazing as my most favorite coveted foods to me. I can have a great falafel with all the fixins, and especially if it's a really light fry and it's not super dense and heartburny. But end of the day, we're talking chickpeas. We're talking about practice. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm gonna say, it's hard to say. I'm so torn, and I know that the whole purpose of my own game is to pretend that there is objective truth about food, but here I am, torn.
I've been waiting to ask you this one for years because I'm on the same page. I think it's a lot about the fixins.
Yeah.
Makes you think, like, well, then I could probably just let it go.
I'd straight up eat pita and hummus. I don't even need, I'll eat some pickled radishes, some hummus, and tahini. I love that. Would be harder for me to let go of tahini. So creamy. A good hummus, the best hummus out there, absolutely mind-blowing. So for me, if I'm going to have to vote on what the chickpea does best, it ain't going to be falafel. And if you think about it, with how good fried foods are, falafel should be better than it is. Because it's fried.
That's a valid point.
You know? So I'm going to say it's good.
Correct.
That was supposed to be a shocking conclusion. But
I was going to probably say correct either way because I feel the same. And
yeah, it's
you came up with way more points than I ever did. So I really appreciate you taking us through this step.
I'll probably get death threats with the climate around anything that vaguely relates to the crisis unfolding. However, I said they're good. Didn't say where.
Okay, we have another one.
Yeah,
it's
go ahead.
Really important.
Okay.
Yeah, this one's important. Okay, this isn't a good or bad. This is I need your top three.
Okay.
French fry ranking.
Of like shape?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you right now, hot out of the fucking gate. Don't like shoestring fries.
Wow. What do you classify?
Call me when you call them potato chips, which is what they are.
What do you classify as a shoestring?
What?
Like, what do you classify as the shoestring?
Say it again.
What are your other top six?
I just don't like a thin, crispy fry. To me, it becomes a potato chip. I like a McDonald's fry is the gold standard. French restaurants actually have similar fries, in my opinion, to McDonald's. The moule frites, the classic fry. Remember when they were called freedom fries? Beginning of the end, folks. Beginning of the end was freedom fries. That's my top fry. I do not love a thick cut fry.
Correct.
Thick cut. Not my favorite. And you know, there's those curly ones. What are those called again? Pigtail fries. Pig's tail fries. What are those fucking called?
curly fries.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious. Curly fries. You know, sometimes those can be kind of fun, but it's kind of like in the same range as falafel. I only want a curly fry once every 3 years. Waffle fries, often over-fried and over-seasoned. Same for curly fries.
What about beer-battered fries?
Beer-battered fries? Are you talking like potato wedges?
No. They're like crispy and...
Double fries?
Yeah, almost like double fries.
I don't think it's necessary. I think it's a hat on a hat. And also, I forgot to mention one of the best fries out there. This is the one instance in which... thick cut fries actually are so good, and it's
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
5 and chips with malty malt vinegar running down every single damn fry. Oh.
Incorrect.
What?
Incorrect.
Overruled! Oh! If you don't like my vinegar, then you don't like me! That's it. That's cut off. On the topic of malt vinegar, I actually tried brown sauce, which my friends in London did not even want to try. My expat friend in London didn't even refuse to try brown sauce. I'm like, what? Who refuses to try something, even a tiny taste? Brown sauce is basically the flavor of malt vinegar. It's got a slight sweetness, but it's very sour. But it sticks to things in a way that malt vinegar doesn't, because I can never get enough sour flavor. Oh my God, my mouth is watering. You know when you think of something sour and your mouth waters? Also, I'm starving. Also, I have to check what time it is. I have a Oh God, it's so far from now. Hello, have you ever tried brown sauce in the UK? Brown sauce?
No.
It is good. So, do you like malt vinegar on fries, like fish and chips? You ever had that?
I love salt and vinegar chips. Okay. I've never had the vinegar on the fries, like fish and chips, though.
Are you just waking up from nap time? You're too cozy! Can't do it today. We need a little energy. I'm giving it to you. Go ahead and give me a little bit. She was calling like this was like love lines at fucking 11:38 p.m. We're talking brown sauce. Let's wake up, people. All right. So anyway, it's solved an engineering problem that I've had with malt vinegar my whole life, which is I can never get enough. It doesn't stick to the chips in the way that I want it to. And by chips, I do mean fries, because I'm bilingual. Brown sauce sticks. So you get that full tartness to the max every bite. So brown sauce, good. Which ding do you like better? Write in the comments. Which ding do you like better? Ding A or ding B? Low battery on the computer, even though it's plugged in. What a madhouse. Well, I was going to listen to some voicemails. Okay, so you can end the calls. We've talked about risks vaguely. Brown sauce for 45 minutes. The average. Okay, what do I want to do here? Let's see this.
Hey, Chelsea. So I was just thinking how embarrassing it is how long we had bread before we had sandwiches.
Wow.
For like a really long time, people were just eating bread and then eating their food.
Right.
Took us forever to figure out we could just put the food in the bread.
Wow.
I just think that's funny.
That is funny. We're sitting around eating bread and sliced turkey and cheese all laid out in a row on a plate. And then some fucking genius is like, hey, guys. And they invented mustard. By the way, I ordered a sub from a place that I don't want to mention, but it's a chain. And they forgot the hot mustard. It's like, I should get a full refund because that's not the flavor profile I wanted. And I think if you forget the hot mustard, there's no tang. But you know what that voicemail makes me think about is that I need a food historian. I need a food historian on the podcast because I am fascinated by the history of food. I would love an expert. If anyone knows an expert, hit me up. I actually have a book I bought about the Middle Ages, and I'm gonna see if there's anything I should read from that on it. But one of the things I always ask myself is, again, I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but if I were to just be plopped in the Middle Ages at a banquet, how much of the food would be better than anything I've ever tasted, and how much would be inedible? Food historians, does anyone know any answers? I mean, the reason I think some would be better is that there's varietals of apples and different things that don't exist anymore that might be amazing. And that all the animals were just truly free-range grass-fed. Okay, that was the epitome of that. They were actually, in the Middle Ages, they were mud-fed. They're just out there eating mud until they die with a compacted stomach, because even animals were kind of dumb in the Middle Ages. Oh, God. Okay, so That call was good. Okay, let's see what this is.
Hey, Chelsea. I have a pretty quick question for you, but, you know, and I apologize if you've already made a public service announcement on this, but I wanted to know how you felt about cottage cheese, because cottage cheese is having a moment, and I honestly feel, you know, I've always been there for cottage cheese through the years. I actually, I wonder what you'll think about this. I actually put cottage cheese in my smoothies. It just gives it this really creamy component. And,
why is she bored?
You know, I've been a day one with cottage cheese, and now, you know, people used to make fun of me. They used to ridicule me, and they used to gag at the thought of putting it in my smoothies. And now cottage cheese is like the it girl. She's famous. And it has kind of a controversial texture. Personally, I do like small curd, full fat, by the way.
Whoa.
So, yeah, just kind of want to get your thoughts on the CC train, whether you're on it, whether you're off of it, whether you haven't tried it, and which would actually be kind of crazy, and what you think about the cottage cheese in the smoothie. It's like mango, banana, spinach, cottage cheese, peanut butter, almond milk, and I think that's it, and it's delicious. So,
freaking peanut butter, man. This podcast is peanut butter infused, and I'd have no control over it. It's insane. That's the buried lead. Is about peanut butter. But in terms of cottage cheese, I actually do love cottage cheese. I love that it's salty and tangy. I do avoid full fat because I have high cholesterol. I like putting salt and pepper on it. Yeah, I do. And it's good to me. Now, all the craze of things on Instagram, that would be a good guess, actually, if a baker wanted to make some of these cottage cheese things, because I've been curious. They do like a ricotta dessert cheesecake, but it's made with cottage cheese. Ricotta cheese cheesecake. Ricotta cheesecake. Ricotta cheesecake. All right, so my verdict is I think cottage cheese is good. However, I'd like to try and investigate some of these recipes that are so viral, because I did read the comments of many of them where people said it was disgusting when they made it. And I do think a lot of these online chefs, quote unquote, are complete charlatans. Like a lot of them, if you look at the comments, people go, I tried this, it didn't work at all. I tried this, it doesn't taste good. I feel like these Instagram chefers are just trying to make things look good, as is everyone on fucking social media, versus actually putting time and effort into making something amazing. It's about churning out daily content. Do I sound old? I am old. Who cares? Your content sucks and it's incessant. So that's my thoughts on cottage cheese, I guess. All right.
hi, Chelsea. I don't know why I'm so nervous. I really want to have sex. I'm a dude, and I want to have sex with my male best friend really bad, but he has a girlfriend, and his girlfriend actually just assumed getting into it that we were fucking already, but we weren't. And he is also bisexual, but I don't know how to be a person that functions normally. I don't know how to flirt. Give me tips, because all I know how to do is be funny with it. All I know how to do is put on my jester's hat and say, wouldn't it be funny if we kissed and held hands? So, yeah, that's my thing.
I think it's so funny how tender he's like, wouldn't it be funny if we kissed and held hands? It's so, like, intimate and gentle and tender. I mean, listen, being funny has worked well for me, but it's not for everyone. But I will say there's men who like funny women, and those men, woo, I cleaned up. Now, it sounds like you're in a situation where it's fine with everyone if you guys fuck. So, I mean, why don't you get some one-on-one time? I mean, you said he is bi. Does he flirt with you? Can you get some one-on-one time? Also, like, Maybe just be super direct. Sometimes that could be hot. Doesn't have to be a joke. Some dumb pretense for him to come over, see if he responds to that. Usually people can recognize a dumb pretense, and if they're into it, they'll come over. What I'm saying is just do a booty call and see if he goes. Get it over with. But the problem is he's your best friend, so you run the risk of... But I feel like, I'm guessing your generation doesn't care about that kind of stuff. Like, you're all fucking each other anyway. Like, maybe it doesn't matter. All right, good luck. You seem funny, though. You'll be fine.
Hi, Chelsea. This is Russell in Philadelphia. I'm calling because I'm having my first child on Thursday, a sweet young daughter who will be named Roya. But here's my question. Or, you know, talk amongst yourselves if this works for you. My mother-in-law is a very particular, fancy lady. And she doesn't love hearing no. And my wife and I want to not be steamrolled into what her mother wants all the time. But unfortunately, my wife isn't great at saying no to her parents all the time. Anyways, what do you think we should do? Any advice? I'll take it. Okay, love you, Chels. Bye.
I think like there's a very clear thing you can do. Watch Iyanla Fix My Life on OWN. Old episodes, preferably. I say that because I feel like it started off very like therapy oriented, and then it kind of, I'm not going to say it jumped the shark because I love Iyanla, but it did get very sensational. But Iyanla was big onto some traditional kind of common sense things where she would just be like, who's the head of the household? Whose house is it? Who's the lady of the house? And she wouldn't tolerate like someone trying to sabotage their son's or their daughter's marriage, because once your kid gets married, you're there to support them in this independence, this new milestone where now they've created their own family, and you go into, you know, the husband and the wife are the heads of that household. So that's a tough one, but I think Iyanla can fix it for you. Old episodes of Iyanla Fix My Life. I can't remember what the scenario was, but I just remember her pulling out a raw fish at one point. And like, I feel like she chopped its head off or something, and it was all about the head of the household. So you could try that too. Find that episode and maybe buy a fish and do that in front of your mother-in-law and see if she respects you after that. It just might be crazy enough. Okay. I think it's time to wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in. Think about what risks you might want to take in your life. I'm going to do a Jerry Springer wrap up. What risks do you take? Why do we take risks? Are you going to walk on that thing with that crazy lady? cottage cheese. Where do you fall on that? Any personal chefs want to come in and bake some weird viral cottage cheese recipes for me to try? Maybe we get our Ojai friend back. And she does that. I bet she would. Emily. Food historians, teach me about the history of food. I'd like to know. I want to learn. Why hasn't the fork evolved? I will be hot after that story. And DDT and Catalina Island. Where are we on that? Is that going to be resolved? Falafel, if anything I said upset you, just know I emanate love towards all people. I believe in the sanctity of human life, and I just want everyone to be happy. So with that said, with love in my heart, I hop into my Honda. Yeah, I bought a Honda. I don't want to be left in the dust. So I'm hopping into my Honda. I'm throwing up deuces and...
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.